At the Movies with CJ Johnson.
CJ, good evening. Welcome to Nightlife. Well, welcome back to Nightlife.
Yeah, thank you very much. Are you full of the Christmas spirit?
Oh, yes. Yo ho ho.
Yo ho ho. You sound like a pirate.
That's true.
Well, I'm full of the Christmas spirit.
We've got a couple of movies here. We've got The Florida Project and Call Me By Your Name. All right, which one should we start with?
Well, both of them are really good. Let's start with The Florida Project because I think that releases the week before Call Me By Your Name. We're into, you know, the Christmas period now, so both of these movies are on their way. I think they're both going to have sneak previews, so over the course of December, you'll start noticing them at your cinemas. But they're both fantastic. I mean, we're fully in awards season now, and so this is the best few weeks of the year for Australian releases. There's no doubt. And both of these films are going to be in Oscar contention, I have no doubt. They're both in Golden Globes contention. They're both nominated for a slew of Golden Globe awards. Both of them have already picked up many awards. So these are good, 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 good movies. So we should start with The Florida Project, yeah?
Okay. What's The Florida Project all about?
Well, it's all about compassion and humanity is what it is. There's this guy named Sean Baker. He's a filmmaker. He's a very independent filmmaker, and he's made about four or five feature films on very, very small scales in terms of budget and production value. And in 2015, he kind of broke through with a film called Tangerine. I don't know if you saw it. It famously got a lot of press because it was shot on iPhones, and it was one of the first feature films shot on iPhones that got a proper theatrical release and got reviewed and went to festivals and actually achieved some level of noise out there in the wider world. And it was a very good film. It was about a couple of transgender people in Los Angeles trying to navigate Christmas Eve, I think, or at least Christmas. And it was very, very good. And so he got a few more dollars to make this, The Florida Project. And this is his big breakthrough. Mm-hmm. This is like Wes Anderson with The Royal Tenenbaums, or Alexander Payne with Election, or Steven Soderbergh with Out of Sight. This is a guy who's made a few good films that have critics liking him and showing enormous promise, suddenly making a film that is near perfect. Mm-hmm. And that's what this film is. It's quite something. So ostensibly, it is about life in a motel in Orlando, Florida. So this is really interesting. Florida, and in particular Orlando, unfortunately we now know Orlando as the Pulse nightclub shooting. But before that, the world knows Orlando as Walt Disney World. In Los Angeles, there is Walt Disney Land, the original vibe. Mm-hmm. But then they built Walt Disney World, which, as I understand it, at least in terms of acreage or hectareage,
it's bigger.
It's 80 times bigger. Mm. It's massive, Walt Disney World. And that actually attracts far more tourists. And that's the centerpiece of their two theme parks, because it's just bigger and it's a dedicated theme park. And so Walt Disney World sort of, that's why people travel to Orlando from all over the world. But around it, it's not such a great place. And there are all these motels just on the periphery, the outskirts, nearby it, where people live week to week. And there's a phrase for such living. They're known as, in, I guess, a kind of callous, somewhat cynical term in the United States, as the invisible homeless. Mm-hmm. Because by nature of odd jobbing and welfare checks or some combination thereof, they're able to afford shelter, being a hotel room on a weekly basis, so they're not actually on the street, but they're the next best thing because there is a Damocles sword hanging over them all the time. And this movie takes place in one such motel. It is called the Magic Castle Motel, with an obvious nod to the Walt Disney World that's down the street. And as it seems, at least according to this movie, everything in Florida, it's all in bold primary colors. The whole thing's painted purple, and it's very colorful and fun. And so you've got this motel and its residents and its manager, and that's the community. The manager is played by Willem Dafoe. He's the only professional actor in the cast. The rest of the residents are played by people that Sean Baker, the director, has found from all over the place. And the story focuses essentially on two of those residents and the manager, and the two are a single mother and her daughter, a six-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. The six-year-old girl is the star of the film. She's played by a young girl named Brooklyn. Her name in the film is Mooney. And for the first half of the film, It's really the story of her and her friends in their first few days of their summer vacation and how their life in this sort of sequence of budget motels that are alongside essentially a road that leads to Walt Disney World can be magical because it's summertime and they don't know yet that they are children of poverty or children of the marginalized. They are just kids with other kids and they've got swimming pools and they've got corridors and they've got laundry rooms and they've got ponds. And Florida is full of, you know, vegetation, flora. So they've got all of that to explore and they're kids having fun. And the first half of this movie is very deliberately and indeed defiantly episodic. It just follows these kids around having an enormous amount of fun and you have so much fun with them. They're adorable and they're diverse and they're funny. They're really, really, really funny. But what you don't realize and what is the great, brilliant skill of this director, Sean Baker, is he's layering in a story for you. And as the second half progresses, you basically get the story of this girl and her mother and their life situation. And you are... you basically swallow a very bitter pill and it never goes down harsh. This is a political movie that never raises its voice. It never shows political imagery. And yet it has so much to say about the state of the United States of America. And yet it's totally fun and enjoyable and lovely the entire way.
Here we go. This is a little from the Florida Project.
Okay, I warned you. One drip and you're out.
Oh, come on.
Out now.
It's going to melt outside.
It's melting inside too.
But Bobby.
Out. Thank you very much.
You're not welcome.
The man who lives in here gets arrested a lot. These are the rooms we're not supposed to go in. But let's go anyway. Could you give us some change, please? The doctor said we have asthma and we gotta eat ice cream right away.
Here you go.
Hey, Lee, got a situation here. Open up.
It's only second week of the summer and there's already been a dead fish in the pool.
We're trying to get it back alive.
Water balloons thrown at tourists.
Boobies! Boobies!
I failed as a mother, Mona.
Yeah, Mom, you're a disgrace.
Does sound fun.
Oh, so that six-year-old girl, her name is Brooklyn Prince, and as you could hear, Willem Dafoe's character is exasperated by these kids, but he's always compassionate. He loves them. And Willem Dafoe, to his great credit as an actor, every scene he's in with these kids, he's acting with them. He's responding to them. He's listening. He's in the scene with them. And he enables these literal six-year-olds to shine. It's really quite lovely.
All right. The Florida Project. A delightful film with a bit of a kick. Call Me By Your Name. What's all this about?
This is a love affair between a man in his late 20s and a 17-year-old young man in Italy in 1983. So this actor that I know a little well named Timothy Chalamet plays the 17-year-old and he gives one of the performances of the year. He's just outstanding. He's actually French-American and he spent his summers growing up in France. So he's the right casting at the right time because he plays this boy who's Jewish, French, Italian-American living in a villa in Lombardia in Italy with academic parents, one who's French, one who's American. And every year his dad, the academic American, has a research assistant to stay. And this summer, 1983, that research assistant is Oliver, played by Armie Hammer, and together, well, the two of them fall in love. This is not Brokeback Vineyard. Mm-hmm. Brokeback Mountain was about two guys falling in love despite, not only despite the bigotry of their world, the immediate dangers of bigoted people and prejudice around them, but also despite their own self-hatred, their denial, particularly Heath Ledger's character, hated the fact that he had sexual impulses towards men. And that was what they were fighting for. This movie has none of that. These are two guys who like each other, and they enjoy each other's company, and things happen, and it's fine, and there's no one prejudiced or bigoted them around them. Mm-hmm. It is doesn't have that angst, that burden. It is just a lovely coming-of-age love story. Now, some people might find the fact that one of them is 17 problematic, but it certainly is not in terms of the law in Italy. It's not in terms of anyone in the movie. And when you meet this 17-year-old, you'll see that he is ready to be in love. He's very, very sophisticated and mature. And this is a love story that you buy. It's uncomplicated by any other difficulty or confusion. It's a coming of age movie in the true sense of the word, and you're meant to sympathize with and like both of these people. Intriguingly, also along the sort of Brokeback Mountain thing, they're both very cool people. You mm-hmm. will enjoy their company because they're cool. And this is also a movie that celebrates intelligence. It's a household of intellectuals, academics, who are all speaking smartly to each other and enjoying each other's brain power. And it is so refreshing to see that, because it's so rare that you see movies with English-speaking characters at the moment who are happy to be intellectuals, who celebrate being intellectuals. And this movie absolutely does. It's delightful.
All right, Call Me By Your Name. Here's a little from the movie.
So World War II, huh?
Oh, no, this is World War I. Huh. You have to be at least 80 years old to have known any of them.
Huh. I never even heard of the Battle of Piave.
The Battle of Piave is one of the most lethal battles in World War I. 170,000 people die.
Is there anything you don't know?
I know nothing, Oliver.
Well, you seem to know more than anybody else around here.
Well, if you only knew how little I know about the things that matter.
What things that matter?
You know what things.
Why are you telling me this?
Because I thought you should know.
And it's beautiful. It's all shot in Lombardia. It is absolutely gorgeous. It drips of summer. You're in Italy in summer for 2 hours.
Hey, that's got to be good.
Yeah.
On you, CJ. Good on you, mate. Thanks, mate.
Want some stars?
Oh, yeah. Hang on. We haven't given you stars. Florida Project.
4.5.
Hey.
Yeah.
Oh, that's big.
One of the best of the year.
Wow. That's big.
Yeah.
Call Me By Your Name?
4.
4 stars. Been good movies of late, haven't they?
Yep. Yeah. They're terrific.
Yeah. Good stuff, CJ.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.